Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Jee Maulana. It's nice to be back on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Last week we had problems with our electricity, and this week we're ready to go. In fact, we are busy with the history of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanirrahim. Jazallahu anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima walu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Maulana and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ji Maulana, before we go on to our program, on the 16th of September 1982, a very tragic incident took place. We know what is happening in Gaza and in Beirut at the moment. And similar on a lesser scale, a massacre took place in Beirut. And now the scene is in Beirut for what is taking place there with the killing of Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah. The massacre of Sabra and Shatila refugee camps, this massacre, just as the massacre of Deir Yassin prompted the flight of the Palestinians in 1948, so did the massacres at the refugee camps of Sabra and Shatila in Lebanon bring about the planned further displacement of the Palestinian civilians. You can imagine what is taking place in the Gaza and the West Bank, the same planned displacement of the Palestinian civilians. That this was the main purpose of the joint Israeli-Lebanese phalanges strategy was confirmed by the military correspondent of Haaretz, the Hebrew newspaper, on the 28th of September 1982, who stated that it was an operation planned and aimed at effecting the mass exodus by the Palestinians from Beirut and Lebanon. The same thing is happening in Gaza also, the expulsion and the displacement of 2.3 million people, Palestinian civilians in Gaza. The story of the massacre is too gruesome and too lengthy to repeat. Attention of the reader is drawn to the book by A. Weisfeld, Sabra and Shatila, A New Auschwitz, published by the Jerusalem International Publishing House in 1983. Suffice it to point out that the victims were not fighting men, but consisted mostly of women and children. According to the International Red Cross sources, the number of dead by September 1982 had reached a figure of 2,750, but author Anon Kapuluk places the number between 3,000 and 3,500 to include those buried in mass graves whose numbers cannot be ascertained, those who were buried under the ruins of houses, those who were taken alive to an unknown destination but never returned. They just disappeared. The bodies of some of them were found by the side of the roads leading to the south, while the actual operation carried out by the Lebanese phalanges forces, responsibility for the massacre rests on the shoulders of the Israelis, who armed and paid them and lit the skies above the camps with flares as the killing went on through the night and who had planned the massacre. It also rests on the United States, which undertook to guarantee the safety of the inmates of the two camps after the PLO had departed from Lebanon. Former Undersecretary of the State, George Paul, commented on the subject as follows. In America, our nation's responsibility for the whole tragic incident has gone largely unnoticed, yet the facts are clear enough. We put our own good faith behind Israel's word of honor, otherwise the PLO would never have agreed to leave. The PLO leaders trusted America's promise that Palestinians left behind would be safeguarded. When America promised to do its utmost to ensure that Israel kept its commitments, they took that commitment on face value. They would never have trusted an Israeli promise, but they trusted us, and we betrayed them. Mulana, these words echo what is taking place today in Gaza and also in Lebanon. I have two books in front of me, Mulana. One is The Bitter Harvest by Sami Hadawi, and another one is a massive book, Mulana, about 1,368 pages. The name of the book is The Great War for Civilization, The Conquest of the Middle East, by an author and a journalist very well known throughout the last 50 decades, Mulana. His name is Robert Fisk. And he has written a report about the Sabra and Shatila massacre that took place on between the 16th and the 18th of September 1982. What is taking place in Gaza now and at the moment, Mulana, is something like 100 times more than what took place in Sabra and Shatila. We just got to remember our history. And in the same period, Mulana, in September, on the 23rd of September, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia came into existence in 1932. And we know that at the core of the creation of Saudi Arabia was Abdul Wahhab. And he was very conservative in his approach in the implementation of the Islamic laws in that time of Saudi Arabia. But today now we see that what is taking place is completely different than what they had envisaged under MBS. More of that when we come to the country of Saudi Arabia. But we continue with our history on Bosnia and Herzegovina. Mulana, we came up from the 15th century onwards that the Bosnians entered in large droves into the fold of Islam, while the Serbs sought to avenge their defeat at Kosovo through countless intrigues and attacks on their rulers. Serbia finally succeeded in achieving its independence in 1878 during the rule of Abdulhamid II, when the European powers were already in control of almost all Turkish affairs and the empire was withering away uncontrollably. The Industrial Revolution of the 18th century in Europe had given the impetus to the European powers to start interfering in the affairs of the Austro-Hungarian and the Ottoman empires to promote the Balkanization of the various provinces into autonomous statelets and ultimate secession. The Austro-Hungarian Empire did not submit as easily as the Ottoman Turks to the demands of the Slovenes and the Croats for independence. On 28 June 1914, Gavrilo Princip, a Bosnian Serb, assassinated Archduke Francis Ferdinand of Austria-Hungary in Sarajevo, the capital of Bosnia and Herzegovina. This was one of the many reasons led to the outbreak of the First World War. The Austro-Hungarians, that is Germany, was defeated in 1918, and this paved the way for the Slavs and in the Balkans to establish their own state and the ousting of the Ottoman Turks after six centuries of rule in Eastern Europe. King Peter of Serbia became the monarch of the new state that consisted of all the territories that would constitute the new state of Yugoslavia, the land of the Southern Slavs. The distribution of power in the new state disturbed the Croats and the Slovenes. Power was focused and locused in the hands of the Serbs, and unity was difficult to realize with such diverse cultural and religious schisms. Alexander, who succeeded King Peter in 1921, suspended the constitution in 1929 and concentrated all power in the authoritarian rule he pursued. His authority led to his assassination in 1934. As the beginning of World War II in 1939, the Yugoslavians joined the Axis powers, that is Germany and Italy. The army rebelled at this decision that resulted in the Germans invading and occupying the country. The invasion aroused the independent spirit of the Slavs and organized resistance against the Germans. Two distinct groups emerged. One was the partisans led by Joseph Broz Tito, who led the communist bloc, and the second group was the Chetniks, led by Droza Mihailovic, who supported the monarchy but was secretly promoting Serb interests. The two groups fought the Germans and each other. The Allies wavered in their support of either group and finally settled on the partisans, who were more organized and effective against the Germans. By the end of the war in 1945, the communists were in complete control of Yugoslavia, and on 29th November 1945, declared the country a republic. The Chetnik leader Mihailovic was executed in 1946. But the sinister group would not disappear. It hibernated until 1991 to participate in the genocide of the Muslims. General Tito, one of the leaders of the non-aligned movement, with Nasser of Egypt, Nehru of India, and Nkrumah of Ghana, through pursuing a communist doctrine, refused to be intimidated by the Soviet Union and Yugoslavia, was expelled from the Common Form, an organization of communist nations, who also withdrew all aid to the country. The enlightened communism pursued by General Tito enabled him to turn to the United States of America and other Western nations for aid. The Cold War tensions between the East and the West rewarded him tremendously. General Tito used the aid coming to his way to industrialize Yugoslavia. He also pursued his own brand of communism in the economic sphere. He introduced a system of self-management that allowed employees in factories to determine production capacities, profits, and development. This was a radical move away from the centrally controlled economies of the communists. During the 1970s, the Croatians, also called Croats, sought to rekindle the flame of independence, and as a result, many were expelled from the Communist Party while the leaders were imprisoned. With the death of General Tito in 1980, the presidency, consisting of a 9-member council, headed the government. One member on a rotational basis headed the presidency. The same system was to be implemented through the Dayton Accords, but this time there were 3 members, a Bosniak, a Croat, and a Serb. They don't say Muslim, Marana, they call them Bosniaks. The rotational period was reduced to 8 months and not a year, so that each member would serve 2 terms over a 4-year period. General Tito was instrumental in granting the Muslims of Yugoslavia the status of being a distinct ethnic group on equal terms with the Croats and the Serbs. The genocide of 1992. With the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1989, the various groups in Yugoslavia, the Slovenes, the Croats, and the Serbs, with the Montenegrins, declared their independence. When the Muslims of Bosnia and Herzegovina, under the leadership of Alija Izetbegovic, sought to declare their independence, the Serbs, under the leadership of Radovan Karadzic in Bosnia and Herzegovina, opposed the move. Slobodan Milosevic was the leader of the newly declared independent state of Serbia. In 1992, Milosevic, Karadzic, and the militia commando, Ratko Mladic, initiated a systematic ethnic cleansing and genocide against the Muslims of former Yugoslavia. By the end of the year, the Muslims in Bosnia and Herzegovina had lost 90% of their territory to the Serbs and the Croats. That is, the Serbs took 70% and the Croats 20%. Millions of Muslims became refugees like Palestine as village after village was cleansed of Muslims and overtaken by the Serbo-Chetnik militias and the Ustashi, the Croatian fascist troops. Thousands of Muslims were slaughtered among them. The deputy prime minister of the Muslim, Hakija Turalžić, who was shot at point-blank range at a Serb roadblock while being escorted by a French army contingent. The forced expulsion of the Muslims resulted in more than 200 villages of the Muslims being destroyed. The Muslims were imprisoned or killed in prisons set up in Bosnia and Herzegovina by the Serbs. Karadzic and Mladic were the head of the butchering of the Muslims, and they were still free when we were talking about it. And now they have been imprisoned. Both of them have been arrested, and the one has got a life sentence. The other, I think, he has passed on. More than half the population of Bosnia and Herzegovina was displaced in the civilian genocide carried out by the Croats and the Serbs. Izetbegovic was helpless. The British Foreign Secretary Douglas Hurd, the European envoy Lord David Owen, and the United States Representative Cyrus Vance scuttled his appeals for arms to defend the Muslims. Between 1992 and 1995, 250,000 Muslims were massacred in the genocide and ethnic cleansing. It was only in 1995 that the Serbs admitted that Radislav Drušić, the Bosnian Serb general, was responsible for the massacre of 8,000 Muslims in Srebrenica. The massacre was the worst defenseless civilian atrocity since the World War II. And now we can see what is happening, and Gaza has become the worst civilian genocide since the World War II. The logic of their refusal to supply arms to the Muslims was so concocted that it allowed the pursuit of genocide by the Serbs with impunity. The classic logic for the refusal was that the supply of arms to the Muslims would only prolong the civilian atrocities, and it would be a better option to allow the genocide to burn itself out of its own momentum. In layman's language, let the Serbs annihilate all the Muslims and free Europe of the indignity of having a majority Muslim state on its soil. On the 17th of April 1993, the Serb militia entered the city of Srebrenica, a United Nations designated safe area that was under the supervision of a Dutch peacekeeping force, and under their protection started massacring Muslim men, women, and children. The women were raped and buried alive or killed and buried in mass graves. More than 2,000 Muslims were massacred in this frenzy of genocide and madness. This madness reminds one of the Sabra and Shatila massacres carried out by the Falangists, sycophants of the Zionists, under the acquiescence of the mass murderer Ariel Sharon. The other safe havens of Tuzla and Zappa were also not spared the genocide. On a famous bridge across the Drina River, 1,000 Muslim men, women, and children were chopped to pieces and thrown into the river just because they dared to swear the Shahada, the Muslim affirmation of faith. Moreover, what action did the international community and the United Nations take? The imposition of an oil and trade embargo upon the Yugoslavians, now Serbia, so that the Serbs in the country would compel the Serbs in Bosnia and Herzegovina to refrain from attacking the Muslims. Where Muslims are involved, the United Nations and the Western world do not get much for their safety and security, or indulge in delaying tactics until their aims and interests are achieved. The response of the Muslims under Elijah Izetbegovic was the establishment of a multi-ethnic and democratic Bosnia and Herzegovina, while the Croats and the Serbs in the country called for further Balkanization of the country, not in cooperation into the state that they already had declared. The genocide continued into 1994. The Serbs obstructed all overtures for peace made by the Muslims and belatedly by the Croats. They hijacked aid convoys to deprive Muslims of food and medicine. Muslim cities such as Kuraste, Tuzla, Prešedor, Banja Luka and Bihać, another safe area, were shelled on a daily basis. Notwithstanding the presence of peacekeeping forces deployed by the United Nations and the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, for 10 days at the beginning of winter, water, electricity and gas supplies to the capital of Sarajevo was cut off. The United Nations reaction to this atrocity, more sanctions imposed upon the Serbs. Only when the Serbs with impunity began attacking the United Nations and NATO peacekeepers, mainly Westerners, did NATO begin to strafe the Serbian militias. The Muslims were still not given arms to defend themselves. The militias also hijacked a contingent of 370 United Nations peacekeepers. The partition. Bosnia and Herzegovina was one of six federal units that was designated as socialist republics of a country once known as Yugoslavia. Its breakup came about in 1991 after the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1989. The name Yugoslavia meant the land of the southern Slavs. Ethnically and by race, all the units were inhabited by a single race. They were homogeneous, the Slavs. However, the divisions of cultural and religious nationalism exposed the deep schisms of a conscious separation of the people in the country. The six nationalities that made up this land were Bosnian Muslims, Croats, Macedonians, Montenegrins, Serbians, and Slovenes. The fall of the Soviet Union in 1989 saw many satellite states of the former communist bloc in Eastern Europe declare their independence as autonomous states. Yugoslavia broke up into its constituent federal states, but the Serb leader, Slobodan Milosevic, claimed that all the territory in the other units where Serbs were settled to form part of the dream of a greater Serbia, as we find in the quest for greater Israel in Palestine. Especially Britain, France, and the United States of America opposed the emergence of Bosnia and Herzegovina as a majority Muslim state in Europe at the highest level of the international community. The Bosnia and Herzegovina that emerged as a Balkanized state, deprived of its territory. Its total area of land comprises 51,121 square kilometers. Of this land, 49% was allocated to the other members of the new federation's second unit, known as the Republic of Pristina, that is RS. This republic is contiguous with the state of Serbia and Montenegro. In simple terms, the Serbs and the international community under the leadership of President Clinton of the United States of America at the Dayton Accords that were signed in Paris, France in December 1995, confiscated land that was to have been administered by Bosnia and Herzegovina, comprising of some 25,000 square kilometers. The Bosnian-Croat entity of the Federation has the remaining 26,000 square kilometers, plus this to be shared with the Croats residing in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Of the 789 kilometers of coastline along the Adriatic Sea that served the former Yugoslavia, Bosnia and Herzegovina were allocated a coastline of 20 kilometers, and the remaining coastline is under jurisdiction of the Croatians. Well, now we have come to the end of our program. We trust that you and listeners have a wonderful day. We pray for rain. Allahumma sayyib al-nafi'a, Allah Ta'ala bless us with beneficial rain to you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Until we meet again, inshallah, next week.